Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble, and you would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes with a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, and corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take a note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's start with prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we thankful that in thy word we can have life, and that life is the light of men. That is the true light which shineth every man that cometh into the world, and through that light we can become the sons of God, whereby we are able to cry out, Abba, Papa, Father. We ask for your blessings again as we look into thy word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're in Revelation chapter 8, I believe. Yep, chapter 8. Picking back up in verse 8, we're looking at the seven trumpets. We'll go up to verse 6 just to pick back up on the first trumpet. And first trumpet we read in verses 6, Revelation 8, verse 6. And the seven messengers had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. We saw that seven identifies with the perfection of what God has in view. And again, the seven angels or the seven messengers, which identify with the Holy Spirit, and the seven trumpets, which identify with the voice of God, the word of God, prepare themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. And by the way, I think with trumpets, every time we look at trumpets so far, I've noticed that it's mostly concerning the bringing of judgment. Although, no, I think there are a couple of verses that I did see that wouldn't necessarily identify with judgment. Anyway, the first angel sounded, and it followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And we saw that hail identifies with judgment, as also fire and blood all identifies with judgment. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, we did look in at the thirds, because we're going to keep seeing these thirds coming up quite a bit. And the third is identified either with the body of Christ, or those who are under the hearing, but are part of the corporate body, not necessarily saved, but potentially could be. And then, of course, the other third is those outside of the Christ, outside of hearing the word of God. So it's identifying with those who are worldly. And it goes on to tell us that a third part of the trees were burnt up. We saw the trees identified with men, and green grass was burnt up. And we saw that green grass also identifies with flesh. It identifies, let's take a quick look again at green. Yeah, flesh is grass, spiritual food. Identifies with a well-watered place. So if grass is identifying with with the flesh, it's identifying with the unsaved, because I think the picture idea is in the flesh. And if it is green grass, which we read concerning the feeding of the 4,000, and I think maybe the 5,000, and where Christ said for them to sit down onto the green grass in a desert place. So apparently it was identifying with a well-watered area, a well-watered place, a blessing, God's word, bringing forth, again, green grass, or picture again of spiritual food. Okay, and all green grass was burnt up. So again, these are all pictures of showing us judgment to coming upon the corporate body, judgment about to come upon the whole world. The second trumpet, and this is, I believe, this particular trumpet identifies with the Great Tribulation. Church is no longer sending forth the gospel out into the world. we read the second messenger sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now again, in this picture, we're looking again at the corporate body, this idea of the mountain. Let's look at some of these words. We'll look at the word mountain. I believe we've looked at that before, but it identifies with a high place. It's the city of the living God, or it could be the kingdom of Satan. And we know that the picture of the mountain at this point is something that is under judgment here in Revelation. So we see this great mountain burning with fire. Judgment has come upon that mountain. Again, identifying with the high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have this picture of fire cast into the sea. And the picture that it's being cast into the sea is identifying with the world. And the third part of the sea became blood. And again, that is identifying now at this point, I believe, with the picture of the people that are under the hearing. And we're going to see in the next verse, in the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life. Now remember, we saw the four beasts, which identify with creatures and identifies with the world, identifies with the unsaved, it identified with the corporate body. It did identify with those who were under the hearing. And when they were under the hearing, they, in a sense, had life. Not that they were born again, not that they had received their resurrected souls, but they were under the hearing. And they had life inside that corporate church was life. And now it's identifying with the sea, with the world. The sea identifies with the world. We've seen that word many times. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. I'm pretty sure we looked at the word sea, but let's just take a quick look. The sea is figurative of the world. To sink into it is to perish in hell. And yes, we did look at this word. And by the way, as we go through this, we're going to be able to move a little quicker because we've looked at a lot of these words. But these words, again, are all available, when people can go up and take a look at these words if they don't remember. And I put all of these different Microsoft words, little studies on these different words. They're all up on our page here on National Liberty Alliance under our Bible study for, under education, the Bible study Revelation. Now, probably a few that last week, I don't know, I'll have to check to see to make sure I've got all the words up there that we looked into last week. And what we're going to be looking into this week, we'll get them up by the end of the week. But again, if people want to go check some of these things out, if they don't remember, they can go down here and take a look at that. So let's get back. So the sea, they went to sea. So it's identifying, remember, the church is going out into the world to bring the gospel. And we see that a third part of the ships were destroyed. The ships identified with the corporate church. It identified, again, with the body of believers bringing forth the gospel into the world, going out into the sea. Now, of course, the ship no longer was destroyed. It no longer has life. And again, this particular third part that God is talking about is identifying with those who were in the corporate body, who were under the hearing, and at some point, of course, at this point, they have not become saved. Now, it doesn't mean that some of these people can't become saved, because the gospel is still going out, and there is a day when the door will be shut, and I do think that'll be the last day. I'm not quite exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure it is, and maybe by the time we get to the end of our study here in Revelation, maybe we'll see that picture and give us a little better idea on when the door was shut. Okay, so again, this second trumpet is identifying with the Great Tribulation. Church is no longer sending forth the gospel out into the world. It's identifying with the fact that the church is not bringing the gospel into the world no more because it's come under the judgment. It's identified with the third part. We saw fire and blood, which of course is judgment. And the creatures, again, identifying with the four beasts, the corporate body of the individuals that are unsaved, that had life in that church, but it died because there was silence. The two witnesses were killed. And the third part of the ships, identifying again with the church going out into the world, were destroyed. Okay, the third trumpet. Now remember, these pictures are not necessarily in chronological order. I remember for many, many years going through Revelation, struggling through it, trying to understand things and trying to find harmony. And one of the big errors that I was making over and over again is thinking that there was a chronology to this. But it's not. It's snapshots. There is some areas that is chronological. Okay, I think when we see the last trumpet will give us some chronological pictures. But now we're going to look at another picture, and this is identifying with the Great Tribulation. And this is a picture of Satan falling from heaven onto the earth, bringing a gospel, a poisoned gospel. So we read in verse 10, "And the third angel or messenger sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood," which identifies with a bitter gospel, its poison. "And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the poison water because they were made bitter." Okay, so let's go back and take a look at some of these things here. We've looking at the word fell or fall, which can identify, of course, with judgment. But let's first take a look at this star. I believe we've looked at stars before. Yeah, we have. And this particular star could identify with Christ. And we know that's not the picture here. Could identify with the body of Christ, the believers, the light of the world, the Holy Spirit, or false prophets. And in this case, it identifies, because false prophets identify with wandering stars. And they, of course, identify with the kingdom of Satan. And kingdom of Satan, I believe, is what is in view here. We read in Jude chapter 1, verse 13, talking about the raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Well, we did look at this word, so I'm not going to really go too deep into this. Maybe we'll pick up Let's look at Amos chapter 5, verse 20. "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light?" And we are in the day of the Lord. "Even very dark and no brightness in it. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of the viols. But let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacles of your Malash and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Okay, again, we see this picture of judgment. And you know, one of the biggest, and I know we're going to be covering this, we might have covered this earlier, but when I was reviewing through this study, I know we're going to probably come up to a picture to talk about, calling of God, the election of God. And one of the biggest problems in most churches, this is a major problem I found in a lot of churches that I had visited many years back, and I'm sure it's gotten worse, and that is they deny the gospel, the fact that, we don't save ourselves. There's nothing we of ourselves can do. We're sinners. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works, lest any man should boast. And so it is God that has searched us out and made us to become born again, to make us to will and to do his good pleasure. It's nothing of ourselves. But by the grace of God, there go we, as far as being saved is concerned. Okay, but we're going to look a little deeper into that later on, I think. I was reviewing a little one and I saw some words. We're going to probably dig deeper into that. Okay, so there was a star that fell from heaven. Now, again, remember we looked at there are three heavens, and one of the heavens is identifying off the pulpit where the gospel is being preached, and the rain of water, the water of life is coming down onto the people, and they were drinking it in. In other words, taking in the gospel. It's figurative language. Taking in the gospel. So the star from heaven burning, as it were, a lamp. Now, let's take a look at this word lamp. I don't think we've looked at it yet. The lamp is the light holder. It's the candlestick. The oil is the Holy Spirit. And the light of that lamp is the Word of God. So that's the picture that the Bible gives us concerning the lamp. And let me just go back real quick to this, because we're reading, and as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, bringing a poisonous gospel, a bitter gospel, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the poisonous water because they were made bitter. So, looking at this lamp again, let's take a look at a picture of the lamp. Exodus chapter 25, verses 30 through 37. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Now, in a lot of these words we've looked at, we know the showbread is identifying with the bread of life. Christ is the bread of life. The pure gold is being tried in the fire. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out on the sides of it, three branches on the candlestick out on the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out on the other side. Now, three identifies with purpose, six identifies with mankind, and, of course, this candlestick made of pure gold, which is beaten work and made pure. It's pure gold, so it's been tried in the fire to bring forth through the Holy Spirit the oil, which is the picture of the Holy Spirit, to bring forth the light of the gospel. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that came out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under the two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under the two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceeded out of the candlestick. 12 knobs. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold, tried in the fire. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. Now, I believe the candlestick is identifying with the body of believers. I think that's the picture in view, because we do know that the oil in the candlestick is a picture, of course, of the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned. And the light in itself, when it's lit, is a picture, of course, of the gospel. So we have a picture of the Holy Spirit bringing the gospel through this idea of the lamps, which, again, is the body of Christ, I believe. And thou shalt command, Exodus 27, verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten. Okay, that's for the lamp, of course, again, identifying with the Holy Spirit. And remember, we looked at the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 wise took their lamps to went out and took oil. The other 5 went out and took no oil. And they came to the other 5 and said, give us of your oil, for our light, our lamps have gone out. And but so they don't have the Holy Spirit. And the response back, if we remember, was, not so, at least there be not enough for you and us. Go ye out to those who buy and sell. And, of course, those who are buying and sell are buying and selling a false gospel. That's the mark of the beast. That's what's being bought and sold. A lot of people misidentify that, thinking it has something to do with buying worldly things. The Bible has nothing to do with that. This is spiritual. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. That's what the Bible says. So we have this picture here of bringing this gospel out through the lamps. Let me see where we're at here. Okay, 2 Samuel 22:29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Job 41:19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Okay, and therein is the picture. Remember, we saw them when the 10 virgins, the 5 unwise virgins, when they wanted that oil, and the response we saw, you know, not it'd be not enough for you and us, is the fact that they would reject what we have. They were not happy. It's not enough for them. They need something more. They need another gospel. They have itching ears. You know, they prefer the lie. And God said, because they prefer that lie, I'm going to send them strong delusion, and they shall receive that lie. Okay. Well, here is, let me read through this. This is exactly what I was talking about, Matthew 25, verse 1. I'm going to read through it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now that I'm thinking about these lamps, this could identify with the Bible itself. Because we see some of these other verses, Thou art my lamp, O Lord. And you know, this may picture the word. So maybe that's a better understanding here. The lamp identifying with the Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, of course. Again, getting back to the oil and the light of the gospel. It's all God's work. It's always God's work. Okay, so went forth, likened 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, that's Christ. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, okay, let me just step back here a minute. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. And that's a picture of coming out of the church, I believe, okay? And it's a time when no man could buy or sell. And we're going to get further into that picture because we're going to see different snapshots of that picture, I think, as we go through Revelation. So they that were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp, while the bridegroom tarried, okay? Now, there is a place in the Bible where God says he will not tarry. So we came to the end of the world here, and I know, speaking back in 94 when we thought that the world would end, and then, of course, we discovered we had an error, and we continued to look, and we started looking at some other dates, and it was the early 2000s when we started to come out of the church. And I believe that's probably the picture where it says here, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, and slumber is to fall asleep, okay, to not be diligent in the word at the time because you're sleeping. And, of course, the bridegroom, again, is Christ. And I think that's our picture there. And at midnight there went a cry made out, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So therein is the picture of ultimately coming out of the church. And those, all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Okay? And again, we did look at these words, be not enough, and it identified with the fact that it's not a gospel that they really want. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And no man can buy, sell or buy, at least not in the churches now. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Okay. Now that brings us that the door is shut. Remember, God has an open door. All we have to do, knock, and he'll open the door, and he'll come sup with us. But now the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said Truly I say unto you, I know you not. Here's the warning. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour that wherein the Son of Man cometh. Okay, so the lamp. And it fell, so burning as it were a lamp. So maybe that identifies with burning as a lamp being the sense of identifying with the Word. Remember, Satan and the false prophets come with the Word of God. They come with a Bible. Another big problem in the churches, and I remember early on seeing this, and it always disturbed me because I knew there was something wrong, because when you look into the Bible, you can't paraphrase words in the Bible. There are lots of different versions out there of the Bible. I mean, there are, King James, we know, is a pretty good version of the Bible. Young's literal translation is pretty good, too. And the key thing between the, and there's another one, I can't think of the name of it. I knew someone else was reading another Bible. It's very close to the King James. But the key thing about those three Bibles is the fact that they pretty much almost said the same thing. King James talks with the Old English, and some of the other Bibles took out the, Young's didn't, but I think the other one did. I can't remember the name of that other Bible, and I'm sure there may be others. But the key thing about those Bibles is that you can connect them to the Greek and Hebrew words, because we can do that through concordances. And when people watered down a phrase or a sentence to make it easier for someone to understand, they're changing the Word of God, and that's a curse upon them. God tells us in the last book, right? Well, we're going to read that later in Revelation. Anybody who adds onto the words of this book or takes away the words of this book, God will put the plagues upon them. So you can't change God's Word. Now, some of these people, they think they're doing something good, trying to make it easier for people. If God wanted it to be easier for people to understand, He would have made it easier for people to understand. But God opens our eyes, and He opens our ears, and He gives us what is necessary for us to have in an individual basis. And, whatever it is that God gives us, He gives us. But He leads us along the way and feeds us and brings us to truth. But again, that's another major problem in many, many churches, is they got these watered-down Bibles, and you can't see spiritual things anymore, okay, because they've changed so many words, it doesn't harmonize. You can't find harmony. You can't trace it back to the original Hebrew or Greek, and so you have a problem with them. So again, that's another picture of a church that has gone astray. And I saw many, many churches have gone astray on that particular one a long time ago, just like predestination. I mean, they really choke on that one, and it's problematic. They don't want to hear it. And then again, Jesus loves you. They don't want to hear the salt of the gospel. Someone bringing, the judgment. What are you being saved from? They talk about being saved, except Jesus. I know quite a few people who have convinced their spouses to accept the Lord, and I know one person in particular. It took him a long time, and his wife finally accepted the Lord and was going to church, and he thought that was the greatest thing, that she's saved. Not necessarily so, Many people say, Lord, Lord, but they do not the things that He say. And again, we see this picture with the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. We see the picture of God separating the sheep from the goats, the sheep on the right hand, which He tells, come on in to the kingdom of heaven, But the sheep but the goats on the left hand, depart from me into outer darkness, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So we better be very careful and make sure that we have a relationship with Christ. If we're not in our Bible on a regular basis, and we're not spending time with our Father, and we got to really question our relationship with God. God tells us to keep His commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, He says. So we have to, and what every word of God, every word from the Bible is His commandments. And again, we need to be growing in the Word and growing in His grace. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Work out your salvation with great fear and trembling. That's all going into the Bible to get these things, to understand the mystery of salvation. I think we went through that earlier on. But anyway, if not, we'll definitely do a study on that later on in the future anyway. But maybe we'll be led back to that again. We'll see where we go to as we further into Revelation here. All right, well, let's get back into this. So we see the, well, I think we're in 10. Let me just start reading in 10. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star. We saw the star identified with Satan in this case, a wandering star from heaven, the place where the gospel is being preached, burning as it were as a lamp, identifying with the word of God, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers. And to fall identifies with judgment. Fall is judgment, to destroy. And we went through that word too. And upon the third part of the rivers, and the rivers, of course, again, identify with the gospel, the river of life. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Third part identifying with the church coming, bringing forth the gospel. But a third part of the rivers, in other words, the gospel coming out of the church, and upon the fountain of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Okay. So the rivers, I believe we looked at the word a river before, maybe not. We'll take a little bit of a look here. We read in Psalms 1, this is flowing rivers of living water, God's word, Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word of God, you know, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. That is the believer. If we're only finding Christ coming to mind occasionally, we need to really go examine our relationship with God. We need to maybe go back and work at our salvation to make sure, make our calling and election sure, as the Bible tells us. And we can only do that by going to the Bible to see if we measure up. And when we discover we don't measure up to the Bible, then we need to be praying for mercy, praying that God may create in us a new heart, renew a right spirit in us. So the delight of the believer is in the law, in the word of God, in the law of the Lord. And in the law doeth he meditate day and night. You know, again, I know when I look into my Bible and do my studying in the Bible and my walk with life from time to time, I consider what I learned, things come to mind, and you try to, you know, stay as close as you can, and your eyes focused on the cross, on Christ, and not on the world. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. It's getting water, it's getting sunlight, it's green. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, let's take a look at John chapter 7, 37 through 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And, you know, the idea of the belly, we're going to look at a verse coming up soon that talks about the belly. And the belly identifies with the corporate body, okay? You know, we're going to see where one of the saints gives on to John the Bible, a book, okay? It's the Bible. And he gives him the book, which is the Word of God, and tells him to eat it. And he eats it and tastes sweet in his mouth and so on and so forth. But then after he ate, it made his belly bitter, okay? And so that's identifying ultimately with the corporate body, the body of Christ, to bringing forth the word. And it's the sweetness of God, the sweetness of his word. But the belly is rejecting it. But anyway, we'll look a little closer at that a little later at the belly. Mark 1, verse 5. And they went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Revelations 8, 10 through 11, we're looking at that now, so we'll skip that. Revelation 16, 4 through 7. And the third angel or messenger poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Judgment. So he pours out his vial, which is judgment, upon the rivers, which is the river of life, and the fountains of waters, and they became blood, they became judgment. And I heard, and that could come two ways. The judgment can come by the preaching of the true gospel and being rejected by those who are listening to that, being, you know, to the gospel being brought out, and it could be judgment, the fact that the church has church age has come to an end, that God is bringing judgment upon a corporate body, and it's time to leave, and that's a declaration of judgment, and so there is truth, and we're going to see that many that hear, when the body of Christ departs out, many will become born again at that time period and after, because they'll respond to the call out to come out, and eventually they'll hear them. And that's a picture that we'll develop a little later, because it's through Revelation. We might even find it in these verses here. But we'll pick it up as we get there. So let's get back here. And I heard the angels of the waters say unto the righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and of prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteousness are thy judgments. Revelations 9, 13 and 14. And we'll be looking at this shortly. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, a golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay, and we're going to see loosing the four messengers, which is bringing judgment and being bound in the great river Euphrates. We're going to see a couple of pictures of that. I think that's where we'll see pictures of three spirits like frogs, I think is the language, something like that. And it identifies ultimately with Satan. And where is Satan bound, and how is Satan bound? Well, Satan was bound at the cross. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and he bound Satan. And he was bound by the Word of God, which is what identifies with the great river Euphrates. So he is bound and put into the bottomless pit, he's there, I believe God says, for 1,000 years. So identifies with the church age. But then he's loosed, and we'll see that a little later in Revelation, where he is loosed. Okay, so the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, the river of life, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And Revelation 16, that was verse 12. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. It's bringing judgment. And I think if we go back into Exodus and we look at one of the plagues of frogs, and they were everywhere, and eventually, you know, they're dying off and they stinketh and so on. We'll look at that picture later on when we get into Revelation 16. But anyway, these frogs are unclean spirits. It's identifying with the dragon, comes out of the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon, of course, identifies with Satan. Out of the mouth of the beast, those are the four beasts we saw before the altar and God. And out of the mouth of false prophets, those are the fowls of the air. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Now this word miracle comes up often in Revelation. Maybe not a lot, but a couple of times, and I think we see it also in the Gospels, in Matthew 24, maybe even Mark 13 and Luke 21, which those are the verses that focus in what Christ tells us about the end of the world. But that word miracle is also the word signs and wonders. And remember, God calls them lying signs and wonders, or lying miracles, what appears to be miracles. You know, you go to some of these churches and they touch these people on the head and they fall backwards and they claim to have been healed. And the whole thing is just lies and set up things. And there is no recorded information of anybody really ever being healed in these churches. But we see these kind of things all the time. I mean, those churches are really way out there. And so they bring these signs and wonders, and God says they're signs and lying wonders, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, the leaders of the church, the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Okay, so we saw the building up of that army earlier on in Revelation with the four horsemen, Christ being the rider on the white horse, of course, and they're getting ready for battle. And that's the picture that's given us right in the beginning of Revelation, because that's what's going on here. Okay, so the river. Again, flowing river of living water. It identifies with God's word. And now what happens is this star, identifying with Satan, or kingdom of Satan, ultimately stars, the wandering stars, God refers to them, burning as it were like a lamp, as if it's got the gospel, falling on judgment on the third part of the rivers, that which is kind of fountains, coming out, waters that is coming out of the church, the gospel, and the name of that star called Wormwood, which identifies with the bitter gospel, a poisonous gospel. We read in Proverbs chapter 5, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of the strange woman," remember there are two women, it gives us a picture in Revelation, there's the bride of Christ, and there's the harlot. "For the lips of the strange woman droppeth as a honeycomb." And of course, this is the false church. This is the church that has gone apostate. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, judgment. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near nigh the door of her house." Don't go into the corporate body that is gone apostate. "Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despiseth reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the street. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee." Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 12. "Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law," they've forsaken his word, "they came with another gospel, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even the people, with wormwood, a bitter gospel, and give them waters of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathens, whom neither them they nor their fathers had known. And I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. Deuteronomy 29, verse 10. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy strangers that is in the camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and unto his oaths, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath saith unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and now we come to the nations which ye passed by, and ye have seen their abominations, their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve other gods, serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under the heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, all judgments, that it is not sown nor beareth nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, blessed they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which be made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods, and worshipped them gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in the book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in the day. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belongeth unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I think this is the last one in Jeremiah. This is the last one. It's a little long, but it's pretty powerful. Jeremiah 23. And this is talking of our day, okay? All of this is Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And let me just make a note here. This is not just on the apostate churches at the end of the world. This is also on the apostate churches throughout all of the New Testament. Do you remember the seven churches that we read about in Asia in the beginning of Revelation? They're all gone. Those churches don't exist no more. They've gone apostate. And many churches have gone apostate over the past 2,000 years. But it's been a church that goes apostate here, and a church that goes apostate there, and then God raises a church up here, and he raises a church up there. And that's been the way of the New Testament era. It's always been that way. We even see that in the Old Testament. Israel was constantly going astray, seeking after other gods. Moses went up onto the mountain, and what did they do? They made a molten image of a god, the calf, with gold, and I guess other metals too, but in any event, and they were worshiping a false god. And he was only up there for 40 days, and these people got lost so quickly. After seeing all of the things that God had done to take them out of Egypt, to deliver them, to bring them to the mountain where Moses would go up and get the word and bring it down, the commandments of God. And they went, as the Bible put it, they went a-whoring. Okay, so this is a constant thing, but the big difference is the Great Tribulation, okay, is a picture of the judgment that comes upon the church, and it's tribulation to us because, you know, the witnesses are killed, the Bible is silenced, and that's constant. It's always been through all of the New Testament era, the rejection of the gospel. So again, in the end days, God calls it the Great Tribulation, and the idea of being great means complete, whole, the entire world, the entire earth, everywhere, completeness, the Great Tribulation. Never was before, never will again, a time when every church goes apostate. Okay, let me step back here a little bit. We'll pick up verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And of course, that picture is the branches, of course, Christ, that will be risen up. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby ye shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, no gospel, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal, and cause my people Israel to error. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, spiritual adultery, and walk in lies. They prefer the lie. They strengthen all the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, private interpretations, and not out of the mouth of the Lord, the word of God. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, Ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, No evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and has perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, that's where we're at today, ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my word, then they should have turned them from the evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Excuse me. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in his secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say, they that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Okay, so wormwood, again, a bitter gospel, poison. So we see the star is called wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood. Again, that is identifying with the gospel, the river of life, drying up in the corporate body. And many men died of the poison of the waters because they were made bitter. Now remember, this idea of dying, okay, let me see, we may be able to see this from two different points of view. Well, one place we can see the idea, of course, is remember that many of the men who had life died. It's not that they were born again, but they had it. They had it. It was at their grasp. They were under the hearing. They were sanctified. They were very close to the kingdom of heaven. They had life right before them in the corporate body. They were part of the church. It was there, and they died now because of the waters, because they were made bitter. Yeah, I think that's the only solution that I can see on that picture with the dying. Okay, pretty much close to the end. Let me see if we'll pick up on this last one. And let's pick up on this fourth trumpet, and then we'll pick up tomorrow. We'll start in Revelation chapter 9. And this picture of the fourth trumpet is identifying with the Great Tribulation, gospel abomination of the desolation, the silencing in the church, the silencing of the gospel. So the fourth messenger sounded, and a third part of the sun, that's the word, the light of the white, light of the light of the gospel, Christ, the word, was smitten. So a third part, again, gospel still going out in the world, but in this case, in the corporate body, it's being silenced. And a third part of the moon. The sun and the moon both identify with the word of God. The moon identifies with the law. And the Son identifies with the grace of God, the bringing forth of salvation. And the third part of the stars, that identifies with the believers. So as the third part of them was darkened, they're not bringing forth the gospel anymore. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I behold, so total darkness, and beheld an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three messengers, or the angels which is yet to sound. And that's what we're going to pick up in Revelation 9, and I think it runs right into 10 and 11. We're going to see the first two rows and woes in Revelation chapter 9. Okay, so again, all of these words we've looked at before, and we see that, again, the picture is identifying with silence in the gospel and the judgment coming upon the church. So tomorrow, we're going to pick up on the three woes. I don't know if we'll get through all three. There's quite a bit here, a lot of language, new language that we need to look into that we haven't looked into earlier yet, but some of it we did. And then in chapter 10, okay, yeah, I think in the end of chapter 10, maybe in 11, where the final woe is. Yeah, the seventh trumpet is in chapter 11. So there's a build-up and a picture. And again, this is not chronological. These are pictures that God has given us, and they're very dimensional, and just given a different way to look at this thing and how we fit this puzzle together in a very a complex or dimensional way to get the whole picture by the time we get to the end of the book of Revelation and see, you know, exactly the picture of the judgment of God and his great salvation plan. Okay, that brings us to the end, and we'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow evening at 7:30, and we'll pick up in Revelation chapter 9. Good night.
Good night.